Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Dylan.
And this is Mom Fails by Juna, the podcast that debunks the myth that moms have to be perfect. I'm far from perfect.
Me too.
And when it comes to our kids, we occasionally mess up.
I mess up literally all the time.
But we're here to tell you, it's all good.
Our hope is that by hearing funny, honest, sometimes embarrassing stories from real moms, you'll feel less alone, less like a failure, and more part of our community of moms who are trying their best, sometimes slip up, but learn from their mistakes.
This podcast is free of judgment, full of snark, and definitely not safe for kids. If you have a mom fail to share, DM us on Instagram at juna.moms or email me, sarah@juna.co. That's sarahjuna.co. Let's get started. Hey, we have taken a little break from recording. The holidays and childcare. I just feel like when you have your kids at home, it's hard to record with silence in the background.
It's true. Both of my kids are napping right now, so we'll see.
I have a sick kid at home. It's been 3.5 weeks since having a sick kid at home, which has been the longest it's been in at least 8 months.
Yay. That's a mom win. That's a mom win right there.
Yes, yes. Although there were lots of mom fails leading up to the going to the doctors. And I'll say this morning, every possible thing that could have gone wrong went wrong.
Oh, no.
Like leading with like my fucking coffee machine is broken.
Oh, no.
It's like every request that is made before coffee enters my body is like, I cannot believe you have the audacity to ask anything of me until caffeine is in my bloodstream. Anyway, today's episode, we are, and maybe for the next few weeks with TBD, we'll see how this first one is received, but we're going to be talking a little bit about our mom fails within our breastfeeding journeys.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to kick it off?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Sure.
And as I was like thinking about, sure, why not? Hey, here we are. As I was thinking about today's podcast, I think we should also do a series of episodes around what you thought postpartum and breastfeeding was going to be like and then what it turned out to be. Because so in terms of my breastfeeding journey, I was a very diligent student for my first kid. I like read a shit ton of books. I did all the one-on-one courses. I was like, fuck, I got this. Like, how hard can this be? And I had my baby and I was in the hospital and she latched beautifully and I was producing colostrum and I feel like the lactation consultant came in twice and was like giving high fives all around and I was like, fuck yes, like I got this. Who knew? I was not breastfed as a kid. So I was like, I don't know where, it's somewhere in my blood, not for my mom, but whatever. So I left the hospital feeling awesome. And then I get home and the shit hits the fan in that her latch is all off. My supply drops significantly and my nipples are completely destroyed. They went from like supple breasts, supple goddesses to like these fucking mangled, chapped lizards. Don't know why I call them lizards. We can cut that later.
Yeah. And we won't.
Fundamentally destroyed me. It really hurt to breastfeed. Like that, I remember that initial latch, like making me cringe. And throughout feeding her, it just hurt so badly. And in those early days, it's like on demand. So you're just fucking feeding them nonstop. And I would cry when she was hungry because I was like, I can't do this anymore. It hurts so badly. And also, my vagina was broken. So I guess in like thinking back in that period, what I felt like was a failure was like a hot second ago, I had left the hospital feeling so empowered by the strength of my body. Like I had just developed and birthed a human and then my boobs were producing milk and I was giving it life. And now cut to a week later, this thing is still very dependent on me, but my body was broken and it wasn't able to give it life like it was like a hot second ago. And I was so frustrated with myself. So that's yeah. My failure.
It's interesting. As you were telling the story, I literally was waiting for when you right at the end when you're like, I was so frustrated. I was waiting for the period. And then you added with myself. And I think that's so it's like that is literally the point of this.
Right.
It's like it like you take it totally out on yourself and you have now like it is 100% your fault or your baby's fault, wouldn't you like whichever one, but most of the time it's internalized to like it's not my baby's fault. They don't know better. They're learning. I'm learning. We're all learning. But no one gives themselves that kind of grace. Just, I should be able to do this.
Totally.
And even like thinking of you, you're 2 years out of this, you still use the word with myself. And that's like a fascinating little piece of therapy where it's like, I was frustrated, period. But we don't need to blame ourselves. But I think it's like, it's, I mean, that's literally the point of this podcast, but like with this other practices, tell it is what it is. It's not our fault. Or assigning the blame.
But also like in all of my diligence as a student, like no one told me about these fucking chapped lizards. I'll say it again. Fuck. That like my boobs were going to really hurt. And so there was like shock and a disappointment as I prepared for this and I failed. Like, I got an F on this test somehow.
Yes. And I also feel, to your point, because I did a lot of breastfeeding education, too. And the things that came up for me was not in my breastfeeding education. And I also do find it shocking that they do not. I just feel like they glossed over the damaged nipples because it's not supposed to happen. Like, it's not, if everything is going right, you shouldn't have bloody nipples, right? And that's what a lactation consultant tells you. But I'm like, yes, but when it doesn't go right and I have bloody nipples, then what? And I feel like everyone's kind of a little too afraid because they're like, they're trying to do the work up front with if you're feeling any pain, pop them off, make sure you pop them off. I have done this 3 times and better, right? But I still was like, I'll just suffer through this one feed because the baby's so tired and he's being lazy and he's already on. So I'm just going to leave him on. I can suffer through this. You do that 3 times and you're fucking in the deep, right? But I do feel like that in education, they're kind of do all this stuff to prevent it happening.
It's like, it does. Yeah. I'm putting a bloody hole in my baby's mouth. I also want to share a personal growth story of the fact that I, throughout my entire life, hated the word nipple. Like, it was my version of moist. Like, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. It, like, puts a fucking zing down my back. And there is nothing like a crash course into motherhood that will make you quickly be okay with the word nipple, because that is all you talk about in those first 2 weeks, whether it's your own or a bottle's. So I just wanted to share that mom win on my end.
That is. And is it totally out of your system now?
Fuck yeah. Nipples all way. Okay. I love it.
Nipple, no cringing.
Okay, well, now I'm...
You're like, maybe I wasn't as...
More like when I say it, I can own it. But when I hear it repeated like you just did, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you a little about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood with a 12-week trying to conceive program, as well as workouts and key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum. Plus 4 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing and pelvic floor exercises, daily tips and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you might be experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you just can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during your pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the app stores or go to the juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download the Juna app today and get started.
So my story.
Your experience. Yes. So I, like you, was a very good student, and I had also had trouble conceiving for the first time. And so I had a lot of friends, like in the 2 years leading up to me having my first baby, that had their first babies and had those really challenging breastfeeding experiences that I got to hear about and didn't have a context for it because I had not breastfed a child, but I did have an awareness on how challenging it would be. But I think that you're like, it was challenging for you, but it might, I think like everyone thinks, but not me, right? I've done all this and I've learned and I've done and I've educated myself and I'm a strong person. I can manage my way through it, whatever. That was definitely the floor I was standing on. I took a breastfeeding course and I, in my brain was like, okay, so there's two things that can go wrong. I can have not enough milk or my baby is like going to have trouble latching. Neither of those were my problem. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And I remember, again, my vagina was also broken and my baby was also always feeding, I think, everybody. And I just remember being like, if I'm not on a sitz bath, I'm feeding this child from my breast. And sometimes both, right? Like sometimes I'm breastfeeding and in a sitz bath.
Amazing.
But I had an issue called overactive letdown and oversupply. And I didn't realize like how bad either of these things were. But I every single time I would go to feed Luca, I would feel like pins and needles in my breasts, which I think is, I thought everyone got that at when you let down, but apparently it's only 50% or like 40% of people get what I would call shards of glass in your breast and then the milk lets down. Yes. Some people say pins and needles and I'm like, that's a cute description. Like it was like shards of glass. And by the way, that was like throughout like my entire breastfeeding journey. First 2 weeks. But the first 2 weeks I would be feeding Luca, the shards of glass would happen. And then all of a sudden he would just start choking and milk would spray everywhere. He'd pull off. I wouldn't be able to get him back on because he was upset. Because he was like essentially drowning in my milk. And
oh my gosh.
And I like didn't know that was what was happening. I'm like, what is wrong? What's happening here? And like desperately calling lactation consultants. And finally someone comes over and she like watches the whole thing. And she manhandles the baby and me and like, gets him on there. And she's like, it's not the latch. And then all of a sudden my letdown comes down and she's like, oh my God. This is 6 years ago and there's not a lot I remember from 6 years ago, but I will never forget her saying, oh my God, your baby is very distressed at the breast. And like, I'm just like, this is my fault. My baby is distressed while he's feeding from me. Like, this is absolutely horrifying. And I don't like, that was just not the words to use.
100%.
Let's be careful with our language. Yep. But I was okay. And he was like, that was true. But let's just talk about other solutions for what's happening.
Yeah.
Here.
Don't name it so dramatically, please. Jeez.
So dramatically. And it's funny because like that, I had internalized that. And then I would get like PTSD before every single feed. Like I'd have to like, and I think this is like pretty common. I'm sure people have it when they have a sore nipple, like all these, you just get anxiety right before you're nursing. Cause you're like,
absolutely.
I got to gear up to do this again. Here I go. And I like with Luca, there was like, he was not dropping in. So I want to be careful with my words here. His weight was not dropping. He was dropping in the percentiles. And so every time I take him to the doctors, he went from like 50th percentile in weight to 40th percentile in weight to 30th percentile in weight to 20th percentile in weight.
Yeah.
And I mean, he ended up like settling and I think the lowest was like maybe 11 or 12 percentile in weight. And then I went back to work 4 months later and he was getting 80% of his feeds from a bottle and he started going back up. And I've never put together that like, it would because like I had like my milk like supply was not a problem. So like nobody was like but it was like he just didn't want to take milk from my breast because it was very distressful. So he would have like short feeds and move on. And by the time he like moved him to bottles, he was like starving essentially. But I still look back at that and I'm like, how did that not give you how did you not dig a little deeper and look into it? And Luca has had a tongue tie, two buckle ties, so like up here attachments, and a lip tie. And I found that all out later on when he was, I think, when he was 3 and a half and he had a crossbite and we were having all sorts of like oral development issues. And then those doctors started asking about breastfeeding. And it wasn't until then that I was like, oh my God, all of those things tied into him being distressed at the breast. And I like wonder, had I been a little bit more vigilant, or had he been my second child, I think I would have known a lot more and been like, oh, I want to get a second opinion. Let's check for oral development ties. And just none of that was on my radar.
You wouldn't know. And again, I don't know. I'm overwhelmed by the amount of information that's online and whatever. And like, I feel as first time moms, you're trusting gut based on no experience and doing the best that's new. And those first months are fucking hell. And also you are thinking about transitioning to work. There's always guilt in looking back and like thinking about different ways that you could have approached it. But fuck, we didn't know.
I know. I feel like there's just this like rite of passage that you have to go through as a first time that it's, look, you are going to have no fucking clue. You're going to feel a little bit like a failure all the time because the learning curve is so steep and the stakes feel so high because they are high, right? Like they're very high.
They are. And I would love to talk about, we should talk about second children because the stakes are lower. And I think that might be a failure also because I'm not as hyper vigilant and hyper concerned. And I'm actually like nervous that I'm missing things that I was so focused on with my first. So that's another episode. Just ideating here.
I agree. It is. Can you add a third and a fourth? And you're just like, who's watching the kids? So those are my story. I think the one thing I will wrap up with about these specific fails is that even retelling the story, I feel it in my body, like the anxiety that I felt when I was going through it. And I feel like there, like sometimes when like you really do internalize that fail as a fail, it like requires some like deep work on yourself to be like, I'm gonna let go because it really wasn't a fail. And I think I need to do that work.
Well, sorry this conversation is bringing you anxiety. Can I tell you advice you gave me in my moment, the story that I shared? I remember calling you because I was like, what the fuck is happening? I'm going to stop breastfeeding. I'm in so much pain. And you recommended Epsom salt. And I literally, like, I have these soy sauce bowls. They're like ceramic soy sauce bowls that I would put hot water and Epsom salt and put two of them on the counter and just dangle my boobs for hours. Actually, no, not hours because my lower back was a mess. But I want to give a hot tip to the listeners. I contracted like the perfect nipple health, which is putting the flat or cotton pads in the Epsom salt and then putting them on your nipples. And then putting the breastfeeding leakage pads on them to absorb the moisture and then putting on your nursing bra. And in between feeds, I would keep that contraption on my boobs and it did wonders for healing them and everything. So,
yes. Oh, I love that. That's a great tip. I love when people are like, just dab a little breast milk on it. I'm like, girl,
absolutely not.
I appreciate that you think that breast milk is the salt. And in some instances, it might be. But there's some nipples that have some serious damage. And you need to call in some bigger resources.
External. Yeah. Reinforcements. Exactly. Yeah,
reinforcement. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Fun. Well, yay for breastfeeding. A lot more to talk about.
Yes, we will. We definitely have more to talk about, and I'm looking forward to our next episode about more breastfeeding fails. This was so fun. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure that you rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts so that other moms like you can listen and hear and feel a little more at home. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you have a mom fail you want to share, please send us a DM on Instagram @juna.moms or email me, sarah@juna.co. Remember, you can share your story completely anonymously, so you don't feel like you need to be on camera. If you want to be, that's cool too. If you're trying to conceive, pregnant, or newly postpartum, please check out the Juna app, which is the app that makes this podcast possible. We have trimester-specific workouts, pregnancy tracking, nutrition support, and recipes for you and your baby, as well as courses on breastfeeding, preparing for birth, taking care of your newborn, and starting solids. You can find the app in the App Store by searching Juna or by visiting juna.co. Thank you so much for your support, and see you next week.